Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Prepare the way of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We thank the Lord. We praise the Lord for this day. But truly, this is the day that the Lord has made. And we are rejoicing and we are glad. He has allowed us to be partakers of this great feast that he has given us. We are excited and we are delighted to be here, privileged and an honor to come and minister to God's people all over the world just from this Blog Talk radio system. Yesterday we got a message from Brother Deacon Fraser, which we didn't see till we got off the line, and he has lost one of his uncles. So, Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this young man. And, O God, we send out condolences to his family. We ask, O God, that you will strengthen each and every one of them as they go forth celebrating this homegoing service. Father, we ask that you not allow the death of his uncle to be in vain. But Father, let that his death bring life to someone, that someone would hear the sermon on that day, the homegoing service, and say, what must I do to be saved? And give their life to Christ Jesus. We ask, God, that you strengthen each and every family member, individually and collectively. In the mighty name of Jesus, we also had a death in my family. Well, these are my nephew's wife in Montreal. I just got the message yesterday evening that his wife has crossed over. I don't know if she was saved or not saved, but she has left this world. And she was a young woman. She was much younger than I am. So, Father, we thank you and praise you, Lord. Give my nephew strength and give his sons and daughters, give them strength to be able to sustain this great loss of their mother, their sister. Oh, Father, we just pray this day, Lord God, that you saturate their home right now with your presence to comfort them, oh God. Lord, let them know that you are there, that they are not alone. They are not carrying this heavy load by themselves. You said to cast all our cares upon you, for you careth for us. And Father, we'll be so careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name, we pray. Father, we just thank you right now for the life that you have given us in the land of the living. You have kept us on this side of the grave. Oh God, you have not allowed us to cross over. But Lord, you are keeping us for the plan that you have prepared for us even before the foundation of the world. Oh God, my Savior, my Redeemer, I ask your forgiveness of any word, any thought, any action or deed that I may have committed, known or not known. I come to you this morning with a heart of repentance, asking you to extend your hand of mercy, not only to me, but to all who would hear this message that you released today through my voice by my tongue. Lord, I ask, God, that if I speak a word today that did not come from you through these 66 books or by your spirit, cause my tongue to cleave to the roof of my mouth and never let me speak another word. For my only objective, O God, is to glorify you, to edify your body, and to terrify every agenda of Satan and his agents. In Jesus' holy name we pray. This morning, the Lord gave me this message so early yesterday evening. I was laying on the bed, and the Lord gave me this message. And what the Lord says to me yesterday, he says to ask his people. Remember, you're not my people. You are my brothers and my sisters. You know, a lot of preachers say this is my church and my this and my that. But I always consider that I've never been to the cross. I don't know what it would be like to go to the cross and be nailed up and hang up there before all mankind with all of that pain. I don't know what it would be like. So I don't call it my church. I don't call it my ministry. I always call it the ministry that God has allowed me to watch over. And I see myself as a watchman watching over God's people. And I try my utmost best not to do anything to mislead anyone. If I say to you that I love you with the love of Christ, it's genuine. And regardless of how you mistreat me or abuse me, you can't stop me from loving you, because I have committed that day. That day I first said that I love you as a sister, as a brother, as a fellow worker in the kingdom is forever. I hope you can hear me, because I switched from one Bluetooth to the earbuds, because the Bluetooth, Apostle Stuart tell me, the Bluetooth is kind of stuffy. I just use that for music, for worship music. And I hope that you can hear me. But we want to talk today about when he returns, will you be ready to go with him? When he returns, will you be ready? Let's put myself in there. When he returns, will we be ready to go with him? You know, many preachers you would hear, old and young, and they say, man, I know when God come, I'm going back with him. I know I'm going to heaven. I'm going this place. I'm doing this. I'm going. I'm ready to go with God. Yes, everybody, you say they're ready, but are you really truly ready to go with him? Paul was teaching over in Thessalonica and in Corinth, and he was trying to instruct the people how to live. if they want to be with Christ. They were in the church. He wasn't just talking to people on the street. He wasn't just talking to the Gentiles. He was talking to Jewish people that had converted to Christianity, following the gospel. And he was telling them, instructing them, there is a way. If you really want to be sure that you're going to go with him, that he's going, you're going to be one of the redeemed and you're going to be in the bride, you have to live a certain way. Paul did that, and he quoted the Old Testament many times in telling people how to live. And I mean, we can say it because we preach well. We know the Hebrew, we know the Greek, we know the Latin, and we know all of this stuff. We know how to exegesize it and how to parallel the scripture. We can do all that because we went to school and we practiced that. They taught us how to parallel the scripture, and as a matter of fact, making the scripture line up with the next scripture. But we have to walk this thing out after we have been taught. James says faith without works is dead. So after you have been taught, you got some faith. Now you got to show some works. You have to show some works. Somebody say, I'm full of faith. I'm full of faith. I'm a faith believer. I believe in all that Christ said, but are you doing what he said to do? Because see, we still have flesh. I hear Apostle said some years ago, Apostle Stuart says, when Jesus went onto the cross and he died for mankind, he died to save mankind's soul from hell. But he didn't die to save mankind's flesh, because the flesh came from the dirt and it will go back to the dirt. The spirit is God's spirit that's inside of us that came alive after we confess and repent and receive him as Lord and Savior. It come alive. It come alive to the things of God. So he died to save that. Once we come to that place of repentance and acceptance. And here in the book of Thessalonians, chapter, we're going to jump through a couple of Thessalonians and a couple of places and see what the Lord does today through this message. Because this message, you know, had me concentrating, had me thinking real deep. I went back from here and went to the book of Revelation to parallel these scriptures. And it really had me really thinking really deep how we can preach this word, we can live in the gospel and saying that we've been preaching for 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And then when it comes down to it, we are left behind because we fail to do one thing, and that is to live the scriptures, to be obedient to God. Not, doesn't matter how I spend the time to build a big building, and we have the bus, we got the bus, we get the bus, the nice bus, and we put the church name on the church building name on the side of the bus, because we want people to see how we are progressing in ministry. But we don't live it. We teaching people, say, come to the cross. Come as you are. Come and receive Jesus. Come today. Come. You heard the word, come to the cross. But you know what happens? We, the leaders, the preachers, the pastors, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, we don't go to the cross for ourselves. See, we stand up and we act like we got it all together 24-7, 365 days. But I don't know the man that can live 24-7, 365 days without coming short. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It said that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. So I don't see the man, the preacher, the prophet, but the apostle, the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, that is living so holy that he don't have to repent or she don't have to repent. But we do that. And I'm telling preachers when I go, say, we got to go to the cross. We need to go to the foot of the altar and lay down at the altar. While we preaching, we finish preaching this, lay down at the altar and begin to cry out before God. Let the congregational members see us crying out before God. And then they say, well, if the pastor can go before God, they'll come before God. And then you'll have the whole body of believers coming before God, crying out for God's compassion, for his mercy, for his grace. But we act like we have arrived. We are a bag of chips and a Pepsi Cola. We act like we got it together. No. Paul said, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Here in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 1, but let's go to chapter 4, and this is where we want to look at. This chapter here is so powerful for righteous living. But I just pulled out a certain part here that I want to look at. Chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians and verse 13 to 17. Paul says, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Paul is talking to believers who have lost loved ones. And he's encouraging them that they could have hope. And this hope comes by from believing in Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, the resurrected Christ, and that if you would live the life as holy and acceptable before God, you will see him and you will see your family members if they died in Christ. He said, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also will sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Even so, listen to this, contingency. Them also will sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Those who believe, those who have received Christ as their Lord and Savior, that's what he's saying. So we can go to the altar and we can profess and confess Jesus is Lord and still end up in hell. Most preachers are not going to tell you this is the truth. You can go to the foot of the altar, confess Jesus as Lord and still end up in hell. Why? What are you saying, Apostle? If we don't live and obey the commands of God, the instructions, the statutes of God, we end up in hell. Saul lost his kingdom because of disobedience. He was still on the job. He was King Saul, but God had already snatched the kingdom from him because he thought that he could bring sacrifices to God and leave obedience outside the door. We want to write checks and give tithes and offerings, but we don't want to live holy. We want to hold malice in our hearts against our brothers and sisters, and we think we're going to heaven. I got news for you. It's not going to happen. Until we repent and we turn from our wicked ways. He said he would hear from heaven. He would forgive our sins and heal our land. The land is not up there with the orange trees and cucumbers and berries and grapes and all that stuff. You are the land. We were made from dirt. From clay dirt. But we are sick, sinfully sick. And the only way we can be healed is by repenting. Turning up from sin, turn away from sin. We sing the song, I'm saved, thank God I'm saved. But yet still we're sinning, big time sinning. Because the preacher can't see you. And yes, remember this. We are trying to look holy before the preachers. Hear what I'm saying, we, including myself. We're trying to look holy before the preachers like the preachers have a heaven or hell to put us in. Only the sovereign Lord, the great high priest, King Jesus, has the key to heaven and hell. But we have to listen to what he's saying to us. Listen to what Paul is saying. This is so beautiful. For this you, verse 50, for this you say unto you, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, this is important, by the word of the Lord. Paul is not saying that the apostle is not speaking to the church on their own accord. They're speaking by the word of God. He says, for this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. We can't hinder them. Them that are sick in the Lord is going to rise up with him. They're going to be caught up with him. This is why we want to live this life, that we might live again. I always say, I'm living to live again. You can't live like hell and think you're going to heaven. You can't do it. It's impossible. You can't serve God and mammon too. We want the world and we want God. Say, oh, God, I want to enjoy this stuff. I'm going to Mardi Gras. I'm going to just shake it. I'm going to shake my stuff. I'm going to drop it like it's hot. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to smoke some reefer. I'm going to drink some beer. I'm having a good time. We call this time. They're celebrating now. You see what happened in Brazil? Brazil got a lot of Christian people, a lot of churches, thousands upon thousands of churches. But you see when the people went in the street, a lot of church folk was there. The women with their breasts jumping out, the men half naked, the women half naked. They got a statue and got a figure of Satan in the streets and water on the way you call it, the slide or way you call it stuff. And then they got the one in the street dressed up with a damper on, a Caucasian man, like he's Jesus. And the devil with a pitchfork sticking him in his back and the kicking him and spitting on him and all that stuff. Making fun, mocking God. And then 2-3 days after what happened in Brazil. Because God is tired. He is tired of people making fun of him. When he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He gave his best to save mankind, and now mankind is mocking God. Trucks and houses and people were washed down. The mountainside broke loose. They have more water in 3 days than they have in the whole year. In years, because they're mocking God. Look in the tornadoes, look and see them, and I prophesied this last year, that we're going to have tornadoes and earthquakes and hurricanes like we've never seen before in the United States of America because of the wickedness, the sinfulness in the church, and how they're mocking God. You see what happened in Africa? Africa is splitting. Why is Africa splitting? Because there's too much witchcraft in Africa. Folk, even preachers are going to the witch doctor. They're going down to the water to talk to the marine spirits because they want power to get wealth. All they're concerned is getting rich. They're not concerned about living holy for God. Some people, not all the people, but some of the preachers are sold out to the kingdom. But you have a majority of them that they're willing to go and sell their soul to the marine spirit so they can be rich. Masquerading the people that hardly have anything to give what they have so they can drive around with Lamborghinis and Ferraris and all that stuff and big homes. Have big compounds. The Bible says it. What would it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Jesus said that. Or what can you give in exchange for your soul? Because see, all that we gain in this world, I'm still talking about when he returns, will we be ready to go with him? I said, you. That's what he told me last night. But I just realized I got to put myself in there. Will we be ready to go with him? You see, preparation has to take place now. It can't take place on that glorious morning when he comes in the clouds with the angels and the trumpet sound. We can't get prepared then. We got to prepare now. Preparation has to prepare, be ready now, has to be done now that when he comes, we are ready to go with him. Hallelujah. The bride has to be ready. He said it in the book of Revelation. The bride has to be ready. She has to be ordained in her right, the right of power. The right of power is holiness. Not a nice linen dress. Not a nice velour dress. But she has to be adorned in righteousness and holiness, the bride, the church of the living God. This is what he's looking for. But we play in the world. We want a Rolex watch. We want Gucci. One pastor told me she had over 200 wigs. And there was a lady in the church who was suffering with scleroderma, a strange kind of cancer. And she couldn't even get the woman one of her wigs. But she had all of these wigs because every other Sunday she had a different color. Her hair wasn't that short. She had a different wig because she wanted to impress. God don't need to be impressed. Listen to what he says. God needs us to be holy. He says, 15 again, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. You hear that? The first resurrection. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So we got to understand that. We got to know that this is our hope. This is our hope of glory. When we have made a conscious decision to live for Christ. That's what I tell folk, man. I said, look, I told my family, to look, if I cross over, don't cry for me, because I'm going to be all right. don't cry for me. I'm going to be all right. I'm all right. I went to Africa to preach the gospel, to do two crusades with 75% blockage on one side of my heart, behind my heart, matter of fact, because they couldn't get the thing and they didn't put a stent in. And it went up through my hand with, they call it a snake, you know, plastic line. They went up through my arm, come across my shoulder, but they couldn't get it, make a some kind of 80 degrees or street, 9 degree angle to go behind my heart. So they had to leave it. And I went to Africa. The cardiologist said, he said, Rev, you still going to go? I said, I got to go. Because I made this covenant with God that I would go to Africa and I would preach. And God would use me to touch the sick, and that he would use me to touch those that are lost. And when I got to Africa, they had this big banner, a big banner with my picture. The guy had, the pastor that was there, the apostle was there. He went on my page and downloaded one of my pictures. And they got this big banner made with the apostle and the people who was going to sing the minstrel and all of these different people that was going to part of the crusade. When I got there, I said, man, what are you doing? I said, it's not about me. And I said, sir, if the Holy Spirit don't show up, I'm not going to be able to preach. Matter of fact, one night I was in the church building, and I had this sermon that I had written, and it was nice. And I was so excited. I was saying, man, when I get to preach this sermon in the house of the Lord, this and that and that, all this stuff, how the people going to cheer me on. And guess what happened? It was in my computer. The computer went blank. I didn't have a hard copy of it. Went blank. And I tried all I know how to get the computer, come back up and all this stuff, and go in the closet and search for the sermon. But God has shown me it was not about him, not about me, excuse me, but it was about him. And I was trying to make it like I was the person preaching and teaching. And then the Lord said, open the Bible. And when I opened the Bible, he took me to a page. I can't remember because this is out in 2017. It was 2017, my last trip. And I began to preach. The Holy Spirit began to preach. Let me say it that way. And people started getting healed. People were crying out. I wouldn't lay hands on nobody. Falling down on the floor, the Holy Spirit was just slaying people. Because he was doing what he knew how to do best. He knew who need medicine and who didn't need medicine. We got to understand, we got to live this thing out. Holiness without, no man will see. He told us to come up from among them and be separated and touch not the unclean thing. And he'll receive us to himself. This is what God said to us. We have to be different. We are not called to fit in. We are called to stand out. A square peg in a round hole, that's one of my sermons. A square peg in a round hole, that's what we're supposed to be. But we're trying to fit in. We're rubbing down the corners of the pole just to set to fit in. We're bending everything that we can in order to fit in with the world. We're getting tattoos. We're getting piercings. I say piercings with all these piercings all over the body. Trying to fit in. I mean, I have one tattoo on my hand that's probably about 45 years ago. When I was a youngster, but I'm not going to put any more tattoos on me because I read the book. I've studied the book. But a lot of pastors are putting tattoos on them because they believe if they put tattoos and get piercings, that they're going to draw people to God. God don't need nobody to draw. All God needs us to do is preach the gospel. The infallible truth of God's word, that's all he needs us to do. Uncompromising word. Don't compromise it. Don't water it down. All he needs us to do is take up the word as he gave it to us and preach it. As he gives us a little elaboration, elaborate. But don't try to do nothing. Just release the word of God. He does the drawing. He said, no one can come to me except I draw them. He does the drawing. But we want to get tattoos. We want to get piercings. We want to do get red hair, blue hair, green hair, and we think you're going to talk to people. Pants too tight, dress too tight. All you're doing is distracting people. Young lady that got on Facebook, I saw on Facebook yesterday, and the person who put it, saw it on their tag, that tag, it said, can anyone make a suggestion? How do you think, is this young woman dress appropriate for the church? Well, I went on the page and I was gonna tag it and put my two pennies in. But then as I put it up, the Lord said, don't even respond to it. He said, don't even respond. The guy gonna check her. I mean, her dress was body tight. I mean, from her shoulders all the way down to her thighs. Body tight. You can see her panty lines and everything in the back. It has nice curve on her behind. But what happened is, she got a nice body. But remember, you are a child of God. And the Bible said, don't cause your brother to stumble. Don't be a stumbling block for your brother or your sister. Now, if I'm in the church or some of the moms in the church, the preacher's preaching with fire, and she's in the row before me, I'm just telling the truth. Because I'm flesh and blood. I find that my mind is going back and forth, looking at her, trying to listen to the preacher, trying to hear the word, and I'm not concentrating. I'm not getting what I need because my mind, that part of my flesh is so much focused on how fine she is. Women and men have to think about that. Men got the pants too tight. I saw one pastor in real life on the altar right here preaching, and he wearing no underwear. And he's right up there. And he's coming from behind the pulpit and standing out and preaching. And you know what he looked like. So women looking at him, they say, oh, praise preacher. But they ain't talking about the table preacher. They're looking at his stuff hanging on his back. All that stuff we have to be conscious of, that we are representing the Most High God. Now, if you would represent the President of the United States, you would have appropriate dress on. One that's got some room in it. Not showing off. You don't see those people on the representative, the president wearing all those tight pants. And man got the tight shoes and women got them tight dresses. Just know they look appropriate. Why we would do dresses and a modest wear for the president, but not for God. You're not going out there cussing up and all that kind of stuff when you are representing the president. We got to know who the president is. You're going to act a certain way. You're going to act very cordial because you say, I'm ambassador for the United States of America. You're going to carry yourself in a proper way. See, the poor woman come up to church and somebody say the wrong word to her. This in there is the counseling for the church. Part of the government of the church. And then she come up there, she cussing the red in front of the church, cussing somebody else. Because we forget that we are workers for the Lord. Pause this. The Lord shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Understand this. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. These are words that we got to share with each other. Go to the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 20. And we have come with the Logos Bible. Jesus, have mercy. Here in the book of Revelation, chapter 20. My page is going a little bit. Give me 1 second. Let me get it back here. Hallelujah. I tell you something, that we are so close. We are so close to the return of the Savior. Man, I can feel it in my bones. Close to the return. Folk are playing church. Folk are dying before you can whisper people are leaving this world. And we're playing church. Folk are not giving him his honor. Here in the book of Revelation, John said, and I saw an angel descending from heaven, holding the keys of the abyss and a great chain in his hand. And he seized the dragon, the ancient serpent, who is the devil and Satan. He has many names. And bound him for 1,000 years and threw him into the abyss, the bottomless pit, and shut it and sealed it above him in order that he could not deceive the nations again until 1,000 years are completed. After these things, it is necessary for him to be released for a short time. We're going to have a reprieve from all the tribulation, all the torment that we face right now. We're going to have a reprieve. Satan's going to be bound and in chains. God's going to give us an opportunity to get it right, to keep it right, to be free. This is why at this time that people are going through so much. I was talking to somebody out there from Louisiana. I said, look, you know, you have to know that the time that we're in is not the last day, but it's the last days. The last days when he come in the cloud. But we're in the last days. We're temptation and all this stuff and trials and tribulations, and Christians and pastors are going to get killed for the gospel. If you decide that you're not going to compromise the gospel, you're going to get put in jail. You're going to get, they're going to harm you because of the truth. Now, if you compromise and say, well, I'm willing to do whatever you want, then they're not going to harm you. I've gotten to the place now in my walk, not perfect, but I've gotten to the place in my walk that I'm willing to do what is necessary to release this word. Matter if I'm in a church with 1,000 people or if I'm out by myself, I'm going to release the word and the way that God give it to me. That's what I'm going to do. We have to be cognizant of that. Here, he says, and I saw thrones, and they sat down on them, and authority to judge was granted to them. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of the testimony about Jesus and because of the word of God, and who had not worshiped the beast or his image and did not receive the mark on their foreheads or on their hand. And they came to life and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. See, he the devil, Satan, Diablo, the Azubuk, that old Slewfoot, he's going to be in prison, spiritual prison, for 1,000 years with chains that he can't break. Because when God put the chains on, you can't break God's chains. You can break the chains or the bars of this world, but you can't break the chains of God. Keeps you secure. You can't harm his people. And then we're going to get to reign with God. The saints who believe, the saints who have given their life completely over to him. They weren't perfect, but he made them perfect. None of us are perfect. But God is perfecting us each day. The more we seek him, the more he perfects us. He exposes things of our lives that we can't see with our own natural eyes. And he said, work on this, daughter. Work on this, son. You know, you've been all upset with your brother, with your sister, with your cousin, with your uncle, all these people, your neighbor. Time for you to go over there and forgive them. Ask for forgiveness so you can be on the right track. All of these are stuff that hinders us from getting in. because we think we are right. Sometime I was talking to somebody yesterday, said, and that person was telling me, I said, sometime you're right. You still you got to still submit, even though you know you. Well, let's say you believe that you're right and the other person is wrong. It don't make you no smaller to say, well, I'm sorry. Because you know who you are and whose you are. Here, John is writing this thing, and it's so plain, this Logos Bible have it so powerful. We're going to raise 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until the 1,000 years were complete. Hearing this, that's the first resurrection. But the rest of the dead has not come to life yet. There's going to be a second resurrection. Hallelujah. But you want to be in the first resurrection. This is why you want to live your life that honors God now. A prepared life. We said change people. Well, prepare people, get other people prepared. But if we got a mindset that's all about me, my four, no more, we're going to be lost. We're going to be lost. It's not about you. It's Shawnee. It's not about me. It's about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. It's about him, what he wants done, and how he wants. We can't say, well, the Lord tell me to do it, but I'm going to do it this way. Then the Lord tell you, shut your mouth. Will you shut your mouth? Or you still going to talk? God wants to talk to us. We take everything. Oh, God, let me just, I just want to tell the Lord this. I just want to tell the Lord that. Don't you know God speaks? He listens, he hears, and he speaks. But we want to speak to God all the time like God can't talk. One bishop told me, he said, look, he said, man, I want to hear from God. And everybody was saying that, how they hear from God. He says, I went into my office and said, I lay on the floor. And I told the Lord, he said, if you don't talk to me, I'm not going to leave. And he said, he stayed there for so long. He was getting tired. And when he was getting, like he was going to get up and go, God began to speak to his spirit and begin to give him things that he was seeking for, begin to give him answers. Because we want God, we treat God like a microwave. We want him to do, and we want him to say right now. Sometimes you just got to just lay there. Lay there. I remember having such bad chest pains last year. It was so bad. I thought really that I would have to go to my cardiologist and they would have to do a heart surgery, open my chest. And I didn't want them to open my chest. Because, you know, they know their work. And it's a 50-50 chance or that you may come out alive. And now with how they're killing people, especially people of color, man, I don't want to go in the hospital. So I laid on the bed and I had my hands on my chest and I began to tell the Lord, I know he know who I am. But the Bible said death and life is the power of the tongue. They that love it should eat the fruit thereof. So I said, Lord, you know the problem I have with my heart right now. And I said, I can't do the work. I can't do the work that you caught me for with this heart acting up. I said, I need you to heal my heart. So I'm just going to lay here. Well, I didn't hear him say nothing. I can tell you a lie. I just laid there on the bed, and I had my hand on my chest. But the next thing I know, I went to sleep. So I felt in my heart and my mind that he had put me to sleep. So I went into a deep sleep. I mean, snoring like a tractor trailer. And when I got up from sleep, I didn't take no medication, no nothing. And the pain was completely gone. And I had that pain since then. I went to see my cardiologist. He said, how you doing? He said, I'm doing fine. I said, I was getting some bad pains. He said, what the pain was? He said, what is it? I said, I explained to him. He said, well, he said, how you doing now? I said, well, I'll tell you since then. I'm telling him. I said, I prayed about it, and I took it to my Lord, and the pain is gone. He said, well, that's good. That's good. He listened to my heart. He listened to my lungs. He told me, I'll see you in 6 months. See, you got to know that you have a God that hears you. He hears. He listens to us. Glory to God. We have to live this lifestyle, live it out, knowing that this could be the last day. Don't have expectation. I'm gonna live to see tomorrow. You don't have no control of tomorrow. Today, you have to live holy. Today, now. Now you have to put everything up for God right there and now. Because you don't know if, look, people are just leaving this place like 1, 2, 3. Somebody was telling me that their family member was going down the road in a truck. I think Apostle Stewart shared that stuff last day. The funeral is sometime this weekend. They have the funeral this weekend. I think a Friday or Saturday. So his wife, nephews or some cousins or something, or uncles, was in the car, the pickup truck. And another truck lost control and hit the pickup truck. And they were carrying some flammable stuff in the pickup truck. And it burst into fire, burst into flames. These are young people. They're not old people. I mean, I'm 73 years old. I'll be 74 this year. These are young people. And the next thing I know, they say, there are burned crisps. Crisps. Hear what I'm saying? That they couldn't even identify them, who they were. They probably thought, well, you know what? This weekend, the weather's changing. They're in Louisiana. The weather's changing. Here we feel it's too cool here. And Austin stayed cool a long time. And he said, they probably saying, well, Sunday, we're going to go down to the Cousin John's house, go down to the bishop's house, and we're going to light up the grill. We're going to make some barbecue chicken, some spare ribs, some hot dogs, and hamburgers, and all this good stuff that we have, some smoked beans and all this stuff we're going to have, you know, mashed potato. Potato salad and all that kind of stuff, macaroni and cheese. You know all the stuff you have, you make when you're having cook-off. And we're going to have this big salad and all that kind of stuff. You know, they're having all this stuff. But guess what happened? There was another plan in motion that they didn't know about. And they crossed over from this world just that fast. That's why you got to live your life. Live it like it's the last day. Not in a promiscuous way. But living holy. So if he takes you, if he calls you out, even if the devil set a trap and you get caught in the trap, hallelujah, glory to God, you'll still be safe. You'll be safe in the master's arms. Hallelujah, glory to God. That's why I told my honey, I said, oh, baby, don't worry. Because if I have to die, glory to God. You know when they were killing pastors so much? I prophesied a couple of years ago. All the pastors were going to die. And man, that year, about 55 pastors that I know about died. I bought a bulletproof vest because pastors were getting stabbed. And one pastor in Washington, D.C., they hijacked his car. And carjacked, they called it. And his guy was still in the door. And the young man that, you know, that carjacked him, keep on driving. His hand was between the door. And it pulled his, you can imagine the pain he'd been through. I think about Jesus on the cross. Pull his arm out his shoulder. You understand? And I said, I bought a bulletproof vest. Never wore it. Never wore it. I said, wait, when I'm going out, especially here in Boston, Boston is just like New York City or Washington, D.C., or California, or Florida, or Atlanta, Mississippi, Texas. You know all them big cities that are fast. Boston is fast. The big city. And I mean, we get deaths like crazy here every day. Day and night, people shooting. Young people stopping, people coming up. A lot of initiations. There's people that initiate in one another. To get in the gang, and they come up behind you and stab you on your back, shoot you. You know, so I still wear one. I have a bulletproof vest. I have a wood. It's still brand new in the box. You know. I says, every time I leave the house, I'm going to wear it. If I'm going out, and I go in some dangerous neighborhoods, but I realize I've been going to these dangerous neighborhoods to do work when the Lord let me go because I'm retired, but I still do heating and air conditioning work and plumbing, that I go in the neighborhood, and as soon as I leave the neighborhood, somebody gets shot. As soon as I leave the neighborhood, because God said you don't need to put your faith and trust in a bulletproof vest. See, you can have the vest on to shoot you in your head. Have the vest on to shoot you in your neck.
You know what I'm saying? Shoot you in your leg and hit an artery and you'll bleed out. So I put my faith in God. Put all my faith in him. I go in neighborhoods and I come back. Let's finish this thing here. Verse 7. It said, and when the 1,000 years are completed, Satan will be released from his prison, and he will go out to deceive the nations, people, that they are at the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog. People say Russian and some other country, but I found out that it's Russia in Turkey. It says, to assemble them to battle. They say the devil going to, he's going to pull all of these unbelievers, all of these people that are coming against the church, hallelujah, to go and make war, because he wants to make war against God and God's people. He's not making war against the sinners, understand them, because the sinners are on his payroll. That's why we got to stay ready for war, spiritual war. People that go before God and all their credit of God, Lord, I just need a husband. I just need a wife, Lord. Lord, I've been lonely for so long. I sure enough need a husband. I sure enough need a wife, Lord. When am I going to get my wife? When am I going to get my husband? Lord, I need my own house. I need my own car, Lord. I've been catching the bus. I've been on the subway. And, Lord, but I know you're able to give me, provide my needs according to riches and glory. We're crying out for stuff. Instead, Lord, teach me how to pray, Lord. Teach me how to pray that would move your hand. Teach me how to pray how would move your power and authority on my behalf. Let God sharpen your weapons of warfare. So when you go out in your car with your family, you're going from point A to point B, that the devil's got to step out the way because he know that that's a warrior. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You see, everybody wants to be a soldier, but God is looking for warriors. Warriors, people who are willing to war, make war in the heavenlies, tearing down strong our principalities. Hallelujah. You know that, son? He says, glory to God. And they went up on the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the fortified camp of the saints and the beloved city. And fire came down from heaven and consumed them. See, God's going to protect the people, his people. See, they're going to go against Jerusalem. They're going to go against Israel. Hallelujah. And the real Israelites are going to be there, which is the African people. And God's going to protect them because Satan wants to destroy them. He wants to destroy everything that's God's. Hallelujah. That's why he's always copying everything that God does. You got the scientists now making babies in a factory. Just like they're making cars. They're making babies. I'm telling you, you know, a lot of Christians don't say this stuff because they're looking for stuff. They're looking for materialistic stuff. They're not looking to see what's going on in the world. Even the meats that we're getting now, the guests in these cronies, they have people know that are making meats. They're killing the cows and from the farmers and the pig and the sheep and the goats and all that stuff that the farmers have, causing the farmers to suffer. But they're making artificial meat, artificial chicken. Tastes like chicken, tastes like meat. But it's all artificial. They're doing all this stuff because they want to control your diet so you die faster, quicker. We got to go back like we used to do back in the country. We had I eat a lot of pork, man. I don't eat much. I eat the spare ribs now, mostly beef. But, you know, we had to grow our own pig, our own hog, you call them. We had the sheep, our own sheep, goat. We had our own fowls, chickens. They had all that stuff. We had our coconut trees, and we had the banana trees, and we had all the vegetation that we had. Now I'm doing the same stuff here. I don't got no pig or stuff like that. But I have gardens that with cucumbers and lettuce and all this stuff, you know, beets and stuff like that, and parsley and kale and stuff I have in my bag. Got all this stuff ready for get this stuff up for the spring, full in the spring. We have to go back there. If we don't do that, they're going to poison us from in the supermarkets. Hallelujah. You're going to eat stuff that look good, taste good, but not good for you. Because that's the way they want to control population. We got to get it right, man. Listen to what he says. He said that they're going to surround the fortified city, the strong place. You know, you understand? The place where God's people are. And the devil who deceived them was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophets also are. And they will be tormented day and night forever and ever. See, I'm telling you, judgment is coming. But God is saying for his people to get ready. This is no time to delay. Hallelujah. You must have one mindset. We must have one mindset, one focus, and that is to be with God. Because this is not our home. We are sojourners here. The moment you receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a sojourner. You're passing through. Hallelujah. While you're passing through, you got an assignment. You have an assignment is to share the gospel to someone who is lost. Do you hear me today? That's your assignment. Share the gospel to those that are lost. We find it difficult. We find it difficult because we are too caught up in self. That's the truth. We are caught up in self. Me, my four, and no more. Your children, your husband. But you're not caught up with God's plan. We have to get with God's plan. That's the whole key to it. Get with his plan. If you don't have God's plan, you don't have any plan at all. You got to have God's plan. The judgment and the great white throne. John said, and I saw a great white throne, and the one who was seated on it, from whose presence earth and heaven fled. Can you imagine the glory that's on our Savior? The heavens and the earth fled from his presence. Oh, my God. That's an awesome sight to see. And a place was not found for them. Why? Because there's going to be a new heaven, a new earth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And I saw the dead and the great and the small standing before the throne, and books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books according to their deeds. See? We have to make sure that we start doing the things that please God. Don't try to please your husband. Please your wife. Yes, I want my wife to be happy. I want your husband to be happy. Your first pleasure is to God. Your first allegiance is to him. The one who said, let there be light, and there was light. The one who said, let's make man in our own image. You have to make your allegiance to him first. Because when your husband decides he wants to go with another woman and leave you, God's still going to be there. When your wife decides she wants another man and leave you, God, the great sovereign Lord, is still going to be there. Your father, our father, our daddy, Abba, he's still going to be there. This is what we miss. People leave church and say, we was in Virginia, we had about 2,500 members in our church. You know, before the pastor said something over the microphone, you know, he said something over the microphone that was very offensive to the people. You know, a lot of times we can get caught up in self. We get so caught up because we know we are preaching with authority, preaching with power. And people are hearing that we're making some sense. And we forget that it's God that's speaking through us. So we start pushing up our chest. Like it's us. And the pastor says some stuff over the microphone. And when he said it, you could have dropped a needle. And the sanctuary was very plush. And you could drop a pin or needle on the floor, on the carpet, and you would have heard it ring.
And from that day, people started leaving the church. We went from 2,500 members to about, I would say, about 80 or 85 people. And then finally, the church was closed down. The building was closed down. We have to always remember that it's God, it's not us. As I was telling the apostle in Africa Saturday and Sunday morning, when you preach, don't preach for the glory, for it don't belong to you. You have glory to preach the gospel. But the glory that is the reverence that belongs to God, make sure he get it. Because folk will come and tell you, oh, Pastor May, you was preaching with such pride today. And you start pushing your chest up with pride. See, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life, it tends to come and take us over. Even though we've been preaching for 30, 40 years, 50 years, it will come and take us over because their flesh wants to be glorified. And you've got to always keep their flesh under subjection. Not about us, it's about him. Remember I told you that. The Bible says he would judge everyone according to their deeds. And the sea gives up the dead who were in it. And death and Hades give up the dead who were in them. And each one was judged according to their deeds. And death and Hades, or the grave, were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Remember I told you? You have a second resurrection and a second death. See? And the lake of fire, the second death, this is the second death, the lake of fire. And if anyone who was not found written in the book of life, he was thrown into the lake of fire. See, you have to live the life for your name to be in the book. You can live like those. You can't live like hell and take your name going in God's holy book. He said, without holiness, no one will see God. You will see him, though. He means you will not see him as Father, but you will see him as judge, because everyone must see him as either judge or king. See, if you're living like hell, you're going to see him as a judge. See, when you go to the court and you commit a crime, you see the judge. And the judge talks to you in a different way than he talks to the person who didn't commit a crime. He talks to you different because he knows he got to charge you for your crime. So when he speaks to you as a king or father, he's speaking to you as though you are, as you are his son or daughter. But when he speaks to you as a judge, he's speaking to you as a rebel. You're a rebel. One who rejected his plan. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, mighty God. When you get a chance, study Acts chapter 15, verse 20. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 7, Hebrews chapter 9, verse 21, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 3, Leviticus chapter 11 and 45, Leviticus chapter 20, verse 7, 1 Peter verses chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses, let's see, 11 to 16. These books talks about holiness, but I have to be obedient to the Spirit of the Lord. He just told me to stop right there. So I stop right there. Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for this word. And we thank you, God, for the comfort that you have given to our family members that, our families that lost families to the spirit of death. We thank you, Father God. Lord, we give you praise. We give you honor for the Bishop James Washington, the Apostle Linda Washington, Apostle Ronnie Stewart, and Apostle Joyce Stewart. Apostle Millie Jefferson, Evangelist Darlene Campbell, Evangelist Sheila Harding, Minister Andy Patmos, Prophetess Jackie, Prophetess Christina Merkels, Apostle LeGrand, Evangelist Curtis, Pastor Brown, Evangelist Carol Brown. Lord, we thank you for these preachers, Deacon Fraser. Lord, we thank you for these, and even those that I haven't called their names because I don't remember everybody's name. Lord, we ask you to bless them to hear the truth. Lord, we ask you to touch the Apostle David Malwa in Nairobi, Kenya. And Lord, touch Pastor Gudis and Pastor Ravi in India. And Pastor Sharisha Gudis in India. Father, we are praying for your presence to be in their midst. Lord, we come against sickness, every form of sickness, every form of cancer. Lord, we come against the spirit of lack, oh God. We know that we are going through a depression. Lord, we are asking even right now, Lord God, that you begin to heal our land, heal our nation, oh God. Lord, there's so much sickness and so much deception. Lord, there's so much sin, murder, suicides, and oh God, we just come against the gangs and all this drug addicted nature that's in our country. Pray for the President of the United States of America, Lord God. Father, we ask that you remove him by fire or by force before he completely destroy our nation. And take his vice president with him. Father, we are praying for the Congress, the senators, and the House of Representatives. We pray for the Supreme Court Justice Department, Father. We ask, oh God, that you help them to write the right laws, and the House of Representatives who write laws, the Senate. Help them to write the laws that give honor to your name, that set a just standard for our nation. Father, we are praying for the police department that they would do a revamping. The lieutenants and sergeants and those that are in authority, oh God, that they would start to revive. Go in and begin to check each police character. See how they treat the citizens, if they are serving and protecting or if they are abusing the citizens, and if they are, remove them from their position. Lord, we are praying for those people that are on the streets that does not abide by the law, that, Father, that you would bring swift correction to them because you are the judge of all judges. We ask, Father God, that you touch husbands and wives. There's so many people getting divorced, even in the church. Touch husbands and wives, and Lord, rekindle the fire that once burned fresh and clear in the marriages. Father, touch our children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren in the school system and out the school system. Lord, cause the sons and daughters to respect their parents as the Bible requires. It said, honor thy father and thy mother, that their days may be long in the land. The children are dying young today because they have no respect for their parents. Lord, we ask you to make an adjustment, Lord God. God, you infiltrate their minds, oh God, and cause them to be transformed. They are conforming to the world system. Lord, we ask you to touch the internet system, the media system. Lord, you are the one that sit high and see low. Nothing happened in this earth realm that heaven does not know. Father, we ask that you test the teachers. Protect the teachers as they go to the school
house to teach. Lord, the ones that are abusing the children, remove them. You know who they are. And the children who are unruly, Lord, we ask you to put spiritual shackles and spiritual muzzles on them that they would not disrupt the school system. Father, we are praying for the doctors and the nurses. And there's some doctors and some nurses that have the spirit of death on them. Remove them, Lord. We place them with doctors that and nurses that will serve the communities. Father, we pray for the EMTs as they go from house to house to pick up the sick. And on the street while they are dealing with those under drug addiction, Lord, we ask you to protect every EMT that they make it back home to their families. Father, we ask for a heavenly protection in this earth realm. We pray for the fire department, Lord, for these brave men and women that go into the houses to even save the cat, the dog, the parakeet, the people that are in burning buildings. And some of them succumb to the fire. We ask, oh God, to protect them. Lord, help them to make it out the fire, that they can make it back to their family. We thank you so much, Father God, for all that you have done for us, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. Because you are our Father, you are our Abba, and we honor you. We live to serve you, Lord. We ask you to strengthen us physically and spiritually, mentally. Strengthen us, O God. Lord, that we'll only do what you say do. We'll only listen to what you say to us, O God. And we'll follow the instructions that you give us, Lord. We'll not try to add or subtract from it. We ask, Father God, that you have mercy on Africa, India, China, Japan, Afghanistan, Iraq and Iran, Syria, on Brazil, on the Philippine Islands, and, oh God, on the Caribbean Islands, on France, Germany, Italy. Lord, that you have mercy, oh God, on Canada. Lord, we ask you to not to give us what we deserve, but grant us what we need. You are our Lord. You are our Savior. We thank you for the blood that was shed at Calvary for our sins, for our transgressions, for our iniquities. Thank you for giving us other chances, second chance and third chance and fourth chance, fifth chance. So many chances you have given us, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you never gave up on us. Lord, I hear you. Somebody is suffering with cancer. Cancer of the prostate. Somebody is suffering with intestinal cancer. Father, I ask that you heal them. With the doctors are saying that it's impossible. Father, you make it possible. You have the medicine that every sick person, everyone that's having an infirmity this morning needs. Ask your God to walk through the corridors of the hospital, even the jail, the penitentiary. Give them a second chance to live life on life terms, oh God. We pray this in the awesome name of Jesus. There's somebody today that don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, and we want to give you an opportunity to receive him as Lord and Savior. I got my little folder here. You can do this one here quick. We want you to follow this reading that I have here. Yesterday I did it straight up my head, but today I'll read it for you. Your soul is immortal. It will never die. But as it separates from your body, there are two possible destinations for it: heaven, eternity with God, everlasting happiness, or eternity without God, everlasting suffering. There is only one person in this world with the ability to choose where you are going to live eternally. You may say that person is God, But God says in his word, the Bible, that that person is you. Only you can choose or determine the eternal destination of your soul. You may, if you wish, choose heaven now. But if you think you can leave this matter for another time, the choice of eternity without God will have been chosen for you if you die now. This is where you will go forevermore. If you do not die now, you will be still walking towards eternity without God. Certainly you would prefer to go to heaven, and to be sure that you will enjoy heaven, this is what you must do. Number one, you must recognize that you are a sinner. God says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. Number two, you must recognize that you cannot go to heaven by your own efforts. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Number three, you must believe that only Jesus Christ can take you to heaven. Jesus says in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus did not say he was one of the ways. He said he was the only way. The only way. Number four, you must accept Jesus as your only Savior. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Acts 16:31. Some of you may say, I'm still young and I can leave this matter for later. I would like to say two things. Number one, you do not need to be old to be near eternity. And number two, the prophecies of the Bible say that Jesus will return again. And these prophecies are being fulfilled in our days. How will your life be on that day? Talking about that day when he come in the cloud with his angels at the sound of the trumpet. We talked about it in the message. Think about it. Because the only way to reach this blessing is through Jesus. He said, behold, I am coming quickly. Revelation 22:7b. If you decide not to choose heaven, know that you are walking towards eternity without God, under God's wrath. He who does not believe the Son, Jesus, the wrath of God abides on him. John 3:36b. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believe in him did not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16. The Bible says that God sent not his Son into this world to condemn this world, but that the world through him might be saved. John 3:17. And the Bible also says in John 3:19b, that men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. You know, people don't want to come to their lot, most of them, not all, don't want to come to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear the name Jesus, because Jesus is the light of the world. And when you hear his voice, your soul become lighted up. His voice cause the darkness in your life, in your soul, to dissipate. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord or God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation or crooked generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. and they continue steadfastly in the apostle doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Acts 4:10-12 says, be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him does this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. See, when you have an encounter with Jesus, remember Paul had an encounter in Acts chapter 9. He had an encounter with Jesus. And when he got that encounter, his life was never the same. I remember having an encounter with the Lord Jesus, spiritual encounter. I didn't see him in the person. A lot of people say they see Jesus, but the Bible says you can't see him. You cannot see him and live. You can't see God and live. Even Moses, that went up there and said to talk with Moses face to face. Moses, when he said face to face, Moses could hear his voice. But Moses didn't look at really and see his face. He said, no one can see my face and live. You know, Moses want to. And he said, Moses, look, he put Moses in the cliff of the rock and covered Moses with his hand. And God just passed before Moses. Moses couldn't see his face. He see his back, but not his face. See, when you have an encounter with God, your life changes. That don't mean that the enemy is not going to still try to bring attacks on you and testing on you, because that's his job. The devil does not give up easy. And sometimes we see preachers fall, and we say, well, why did he fall? He was preaching for 40 years. Because he's flesh and blood. She's flesh and blood. They're going to say things, they're going to do things that's not of God, because their flesh is not safe. And we still want to rule and reign. And the only one that's supposed to rule and reign is Jesus Christ. He's supposed to rule and reign in us, lead us and guide us into all truth. But we want to rule and reign like we are. And ladies, Father, we just thank you. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you heard the scriptures I read, you need to repent. The Bible says you must repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Repentance means that you must turn away from the lifestyle that you were living. Hallelujah. If you don't turn away, you're going to end up the same place. You know, we say in Narcotics Anonymous, you say, if you keep doing the same thing, you'll keep getting the same results. And that's a foolish person. You know, you can't keep going to the hot dog stand when you know you shouldn't eat hot dogs. You keep going there, eventually you're going to buy a hot dog. Because they smell good. They're not good for you, but they smell good. Because they got a lot of contaminants in them. They're not good for you. But if you keep going there, eventually you're going to tell the man or the woman that at the receipt. You're going to tell them, give me a hot dog. This is my money. Give me a hot dog with a long one. I want a one-footer. You know, they got them long one-footers. But when you have an encounter with him, you begin to let go of the things that had you in bondage. We don't have to fornicate anymore. We don't have to commit adultery anymore. We don't have to sleep with a neighbor anymore. We don't have to lie. We don't have to cheat. We don't have to steal. We don't have to cuss anymore. I used to cuss. Every other word came off my tongue was a cuss word. I tell you the truth. Every other word came off my tongue was a cuss word, because that's who I was. And even when I came to the Lord, when he drew me out of darkness, and he found me in a crack house, I hear people say, when they found God, you ain't found no God, because God never was lost. He never was lost. You can't show me no place in the Bible in their manuscript where they said God was lost. He was never lost. And he found me. I asked him to take away that the desire to want to get high and that desire to always want to cuss. At the blink of an eye, I want to cuss somebody out. I want to get him, they say, get him a piece of my mind. And God took that away from me. I mean, he took it away. I don't have no need for it. And if I feel that somebody's going to trouble my spirit, I just stay away from them. I just lost almost $1,000 on the job. I could have fight for the money. I could do some crazy stuff and get my money. But I let it go. Because it's not about money. You know, people have a lot of strange attitudes about me. But I tell you, if I've done something for you, if you've done something for me, I appreciate every little that you do for me. I appreciate it from the center of my heart, not the bottom, from the center of my heart. If you bless me financially, if you bless me by praying for me, I truly, truly appreciate it. I won't take anything for granted. And if I tell you that I love you, I said that earlier in the message, you can't stop me. That is my gift that God gave me. God gave me the gift to love unconditionally. And I don't have to prove to nobody, anybody. I don't have to prove to anybody that I love them. God knows my heart. God knows my heart. So I thank God for those. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, tell them this day. Still the Lord Jesus, I heard the scriptures. I believe the scriptures. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whosoever believe on him will never be ashamed. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, say, Lord Jesus, say with me, say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I acknowledge that I am a sinner in need of a Savior. And from the scriptures that I heard today, I come to the conclusion that you're the only one that can save me. You're the only one that can cleanse me from the unrighteousness of my life and give me your righteous life. I denounce Satan and all of the world system and his agents. Jesus, my heart is open to you. Come in now. Sit on the throne of my heart. Take control of my heart, my ever being. I receive you now as my Lord, my Savior, and my soon coming King. If you said that prayer, that oncoming prayer, that I believe the Lord has just given to me, and you believe in your heart what you said with your mouth according to Romans chapter 10, verse 9, 10, and 11, you have just received the gift of salvation. But you need to call up a pastor, a preacher, teacher, someone that know how to baptize, and tell them. See, because now you got to continue confessing who you are. You want the world to know. Let the devil hear you confessing. It makes him mad. You know that? When you confess Jesus, it makes the devil mad. The name Jesus is not to be kept somewhere in a box hidden, stashed away in a box. You should open your mouth and let people know that you saved, you sanctified. You know? Nobody, you got a nice watch, nice piece of jewelry to get for your birthday. Oh, for your anniversary, you don't go put it in a little jewelry box and leave it there. No, you take that, you put that thing on, put it around your neck, put it on your hand, put it on your wrist, and you want everybody to say, I've been found a man. Oh, I love that watch. I love that. Because so you're showing off what you have. Well, that's the same way with Jesus. Jesus is Lord. You don't put him in some box and say, well, I'll wait for a chance to tell somebody. No, every chance you get. You let people know that you are safe, sanctified. You buy your new car, you don't go put it in the garage and say, but I'm going to wait. I'm gonna wait for one day. And the moment you get that, you want it. You get it detailed. You say you don't want even bread from the shore, from the place. You want them to wash it, clean it, detail it, because you want to see your face. And then you want to drive around the block a couple of times. You want your neighbors, your friends, even your enemies. You want them to see your new car. Well, that's the same way. You got something better than a new car, better than a Rolex watch, better than a new house. Salvation is a gift that comes only from God. You can't purchase it. You got that stuff. Call up a pastor and get yourself connected. Invite your friends, your family, your co-workers. You want to be baptized because the Bible says in Mark chapter 16 that you have to be baptized. You have to be baptized. If you don't get baptized, you're damned. See, baptism is part of your salvation. A lot of people say, well, I get saved, we don't have to baptize. Well, and they talk about the thief on Jesus' side on the cross that received Jesus on the cross, received my Lord, but he didn't get baptized because he was in a different dispensation. In the dispensation that we are in on the grace, we have to get baptized. That's the open proclamation or declaration that you are telling people, letting people know that you are saved, that you belong to Christ. Jesus said here in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, 16, 17, and 18, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Wow. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, they shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. See, when you got this thing, you stepping out in righteousness, holiness, people get healed. Sometimes the people don't get healed the same day. I was in Africa preaching, and I seen people come up to the altar. And we're in the crusade, and the Holy Ghost healed tumors. Was just dissolving right there. I was crying, weeping. God. You know, you're seeing it, but you can't believe it. So, my God, all this stuff is just happening. God was doing it, not David Callender. He was doing it. You got to understand, you serve a God that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you ask or think according to the power that worketh in you. He's able to do it. So we thank God for you all coming on today. Thank you all that received the gift of salvation. You all that will get baptized at some day. And after you get baptized, find a church that's preaching and teaching the gospel. Get yourself involved. Because a lot of people, they just want to get more. They want to get more. They want more, more word, more word. But they're not doing anything with the word that they have. And some just all they have is a whole set of excuses. A whole lot of excuses not to preach and teach, you know. And then there's another set that all they do is cause division in the church. That's all they do, cause division, because they feel they are right about everything. That's not the set that I'm concentrating on. I'm concentrating on the ones that are hungry and thirsty for righteousness. Now, Mother Grant, you're on there. If you want to come on and read, you can come on and read. If not, I'm going to pray and close out. Because the people ain't going to say nothing. A lot of people online, but they're going to say nothing.
Praise the Lord. Yes, I'm here. God bless you.
Praise the Lord.
Pastor, glad to be on this morning. Yeah, it's kind of slowing down. I'm slowing down. I'm getting slow. Moving around. But praise the Lord. Yes, my son.
Praise the Lord.
He just left this morning. Yeah, he came over for, it's my birthday.
So happy birthday.
This morning, Sean, and yes.
Happy birthday.
Morning, him and his children, yes. Thank you. Thank you. Hello, and good morning to everybody on the line. My reading. Approach problem with a high touch. When your mind moves towards the problem area, you tend to focus on that situation so intensely that you lose sight of me. You pick yourself against a difficulty as if you had a concord immediately. Your mind gear up or backwards, and your body become tense. And unless you achieve total victory, you feel defeated. There is a better way when a problem starts to overshadow your thoughts. Bring this matter to me. Talk with me about it and look at it in a light of my presence. This puts so much need space between you and your concern, enable you to see from my perspective. You will be surprised at the result. Sometime you may even laugh at yourself for being so serious about something so insightful. You will always face trouble in this life, but more importantly, you will always have me with you, helping you to handle whatever you encounter, approaching problems with a light touch by viewing them in my revealing light. Luke 12:25, Psalms 89:15, John 16:33. I want to read another one. Sorry, here. As you look at the day before you, you see a twist completely part with branches growing, going off in all directions. You wonder how you can probably find your way through that. When you remember one who is with you always, holding you by your right hand, you recall my promise to guide you with my counsel, and you begin to relax as you look again at the path ahead. You notice that a peaceful frog has settled over it, observing your view. You can see only a few steps in front of you, so you turn your attention more fully to me and begin to enjoy my presence. The fog is a protector for you, calling you back into the present moment. Although I inhabit all of your space and time, you can communicate with me only here and now. Someday the fog will no longer be necessary for you. Will have learned to keep your focus on me and on the path just ahead of you. Psalms 73:23-24, Psalms 25:4-5, 1 Corinthians 13:12. And may God add his blessing to his word. Amen. Amen. God bless. Keep me in prayer. I have a friend. Well, her husband, when my son was in the hospital, they live in Georgia, yeah. And her husband fell down. He's a pastor. He fell down and broke his back. And I'm asking for prayer for the husband, yeah, and the wife. Garvey, his name is Garvey, Mr. Garvey, Pastor Garvey. Yeah, because they came all the way from where they live and came to the hospital to my son and was praying for him. Now she tell me I'm keeping up with her. Say he's in a lot of pain. He fell and he's in the hospital. He broke her back, so she have to be there with him. And as he lose his brother on top of that, she says she can't tell him because he lose his brother. His brother passed away and can't tell him nothing because he's not doing well. And let him know that the brother died. Keep on.
Okay, Father God, we thank you and praise you, O God, for Harvey. And God, we just know that you are Jehovah Rapha. You're the God that healeth. Lord, is nothing too difficult for you. Lord, this is your child, your servant, the one who preached your word to your people, the one who prays, the one who intercedes for the lost, O God. We ask, Father God, that you, O God, you would enter into that room. I believe that you're already in that hospital room. But, Lord, we are praying that you enter in, O God, and touch your son, O God. Comfort his wife even as she comforts her husband, Lord. We are praying, Father God, that you mend, O God, and realign his back, O God, the way it was and even better. Father, we ask you to cause the pain and all the hurt that he is facing right now to subside, O God. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are the God that healeth. You send your word and heal his disease and freedom from destruction. Oh, God, we declare and decree, God, that he will not die according to Psalm 18 and 17, but he shall live to declare the works of the Lord. By your stripes, Lord God, he was healed, oh, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. Comfort the family, oh, God, as they lost even the loved one he doesn't know about, Lord God. Comfort the ones that know already. And, Father, we are careful to give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Also, Mother Grant, I know Deacon Fraser probably told you already, but he lost an uncle. He lost an uncle on Sunday, I think it was.
Because I was on Friday, but it wasn't on Saturday. Oh, he lost an uncle. I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, he lost a brother, an uncle on his brother's, his father's brother crossed over on Sunday, I think it was. Well, we are praying for him, and, you know, we there's a lot of stuff going on. We are praying for our pastor's friends in India who was just had open-heart surgery, had a couple of arteries that were busted, but the Lord kept him because he was bleeding internally. You know, didn't know what was going on, and they discovered that he had an artery, two arteries that were busted, so they had to open his chest and fix the artery. So he's still in the hospital, so we just waiting now we can get a call from Pastor Gudis and know how he's doing. So but God is watching over his people. He's keeping his
people.
All the stuff that's going on. Christians are getting persecuted all over the world like never before. But you know, we are still standing. I saw a pastor got arrested here somewhere in some state, somewhere south, and he was preaching with a megaphone on the street, and the police, about six or seven of them come, and they arrested him and took him to jail for preaching for Jesus. Yep. And his wife was there. She had a camera. She was taking, the police told her, stand back, stand back. If you don't stand back, you come past that. He said, look, Mark, put the hands pointing at the wrong. If you come past that mark, you'll go to jail with him too. All he was doing was preaching with Jesus. So the Bible says the last day that we will face persecution. So you've got to keep preaching the truth. You got to keep preaching the truth. You know, you got to keep preaching. I told my wife, you know, I look at all the times when I'm, the things that I say over Blog Talk Radio Church Ministry, I always expect that any day they will bust on my door. Any day. Because I preach a lot of serious stuff what God tells me to say. So I looked at any day they could bust down my door, because that's what's leading up, that they're going to bust in your door. They're going to shut down the Bibles on the computer. They're going to shut down the Bibles in the stores, you know, just like in some of the other countries that you can't even see. You can't have a Bible open. If you have a Bible open, carrying a Bible, they will put you in jail. You got to have the Bible on the cover. You know, even China, you got to have Bibles hidden, you know. You can't have the Bibles open. Mm-hmm. So this is the time that we're going into. You see how the president's coming against everything that's Christian, you know. But we got to pray. We got to pray. You can't sit down and be idle about it. You got to pray. Because God told us straight up in the book of Jeremiah, if we pray, you know, he will hear from heaven. He will forgive our sins and heal our land. When we pray, we are calling out to him. That's what we do when we are praying, calling out to God, the God of our salvation, you know. So I thank God for you all. I praise God for those that came on the line and heard the word. A few people on the line right now. We thank God for you all. I have to go out on Thursday. I have to go out and do a job on Thursday. I don't know if I'll get back in time. I have to put in a heater and put in a gas stove, and it's a while away from me, about an hour away. But either way, we got to go do it, because the people are asking for help. And I was just seeing last night talking to a minister. I said, like, I just praying for God to send some more work because, you know, I don't have to go to work because I tell the truth, Mother Grant, I don't need a whole lot, you know. God meets all of my needs. All of my needs he meets. But I go out to work because I'm retired. I go to work because I want to help people. I want to help people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's why I go. I don't have to go. I don't have to go. You know, I'm going to stay home. I'm going to stay home. I make enough money for my Social Security. I can pay for Blog Talk Radio every month. Every month. It comes out the first of the month. I can pay every month and don't have to worry. You know. Okay.
God is able.
Let me see what. Yeah, he's able. She go to leave a checkbook here with her card, gas card, so she can't get no gas. Anyway, so Father, we just thank you and praise you, O God, for Brother Grant and for all those that came on the line today. Lord, bless them, bless their families, bless their relationship. O God, make them stronger. Make them, O God, open their eyes and their ears that they will see you clear and hear you clear, Lord God. Give them a heart of submission and commitment to you, Lord God. Let them know that you are the only way, the truth, and the light, and that no one can come to fire except through you. Oh, God, we ask to bless their children, bless their grandchildren and great-grandchildren, bless their husband, bless their wives, oh, God. Oh, Father, we ask you to do miracles right now through these people that's on this line, God. We ask you to give them a tongue to speak and speak boldly, knowing that you are who you said you are, that you will never leave them or forsake us. Oh, God, we ask that you bless us in the city, bless us in the field, bless us when we come and bless us when we go. God, continue to make us the head and not the tail, set us above and not beneath. Lord, make us the lenders and not the borrowers. Oh, God, we are praying today that the blessing will come, God, so that we can be a blessing to those that are less fortunate than us, oh, God, that we can bless the widows, the fatherless, the motherless, the homeless, and the orphans, oh, God. And as you do this, oh, God, we continue to bless your name. We continue to praise you. And even if you don't do it, Lord, we are going to continue to praise you, God, because you have done for us more than enough already. God, now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the sweet communion of the Holy Spirit, continue to rest and abide upon us, and surely goodness and mercy shall follow us all the days of our lives, and we will dwell here in the house of the Lord forever and ever. Amen and amen. You all have a blessed evening, safe evening. We'll be back on tomorrow morning. The Lord say the same. And we're on this side of the grave. We will be here bringing another word from the Lord as the Lord give us utterance in Jesus' holy name. We love you, but God loves you more. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Have a blessed day.